LNE Volume 3, a video by the great Franklin Carbonati, spanning Rome, Milan, London, New York, Paris, Barcelona, Montreal, and Toronto, featuring Rebo, Volvo, Snens, MTNW, Anger, Talker, Xavier, BO South, Lure, Rehab, Time, Zonic, XSM, Kemto, Salon, TD, Emno, Fayer, Toser, Nove, Stays, Villo, OSF, Waste, Soul, Zano, Guko, and What. The full video is now available on our Patreon. Enjoy, peace, love, and respect. So yeah, bro, like I said, thank you for coming on the show. It's a huge honor for us, and been trying to make this happen, so I'm super hyped that it's happening. Just in terms of like your life and where you came up in and the scene you came up in and how it's affected like essentially like all the things that you're into now and all the things that you do. You grew up in LA during a time period where it was like gangster rap influence all over the place. Rodney King riots, just like a biggest crack problem in all of America. And then one of the most violent cities in all of America, the race riots. It's just like a crazy time period to be coming up in. You talk about how you'd see V13 tags and they influenced, you know, just your early mind, how everyone around you was just skating, writing graffiti, or a gang member. And I was just wondering, how was it coming up in that time period, and what do you think about it?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. I think about it a lot because I was super influenced by my environment, and which is normal, because I always think about, you know, you go through life and you start rehashing things, trying to figure out like what makes you tick. Why do I act this way? Why do I do this? I.e. like whatever it is, whatever your functions are to do that, therapy or me, whatever it is, I do all that shit because I'm trying to always figure out what the fuck's going on. And, you know, it comes down to who I am as a person versus who I am, who I was in that environment, which are two separate things, I think. And I think that a lot of us are shaped by the environment because it can be a real pressure cooker. And I think I had enough, space to not have to do a bunch of shit. Like, I didn't have to gangbang. I lived like a couple blocks away to where it was like more optional. I think if I lived a couple blocks in, it probably wouldn't have been an option for me. They would have just grabbed me up, I'm assuming. But I don't know, maybe not. But most of the kids I knew who lived in the hood, they got swept up into that shit. And I live like just outside the hood of the neighborhood, right? So, but yeah, man, that stuff, I would just start, you know, drawing what I saw around me and, you know, graffiti, gang. Like, I didn't even know. I think even before I knew what graffiti was, I would emulate it and redraw it, you know, and just seeing like what was around, like, you know, V13 tags, Venice tags, Dogtown. I remember those things stuck out and you'd see it everywhere. And I just like would redraw that stuff. You know, I moved from drawing like ninjas and cyborgs to like graffiti and just emulating that. But I didn't even understand what the context was. I just was like drawing it. And I was always like super infatuated with like gang hand styles, which are that's a whole other thing, you know? But anyways, yeah. All that stuff influenced me. Like, I'd go down to the beach, go to the pavilion, and, like, see all the graffiti, and just, like, wonder, well, how the fuck did that happen? And why does this dude... I remember these dudes came from New York. It was, like, Dusty. Definitely this dude, Dusty. I can't remember who else it was, but I remember Dusty. And, like, they painted the outside of the breakwater walls. And I remember this piece was, like... I mean, even now it's futuristic. It was just like it's only going to make sense to a small amount of people, but like the T looped over itself in this crazy way. And I remember seeing that as a kid and just being like, and like redrawing it and biting it and being kind of blown away once I understood the context of like what a piece was. And that was kind of what influenced me, amongst other things, you know. But I also, at the same time, before I started letting that stuff in my head, I used to like read voraciously, and like I was a kid who read so much that I would just like read so much I'd like eat the paper out of the book, because I didn't want to, like, I don't know why I did that, but I just sit there and read and like chew pieces of paper. That's what I did early on. And then when I got pulled into other stuff, and I realized too that like reading wasn't like knowing, reading a bunch of books wasn't really like the currency where I was growing up, you know. Yeah. It was like, you know, but I think in my heart of hearts, I probably like was more interested in that kind of a pursuit than anything else. But I quickly pivoted and got into what was available to me. And again, like, it's not that I could have done other things, right? I could have gotten the football team. You know, I know that they wanted me to, but I was like, fuck you guys, I'm writing graffiti. You know, I could have gotten to my scholastic enterprise, right? I could have like become a scholar of some sorts, but I was drawn towards like graffiti, drinking, smoking weed, and hanging out. And I was never that good at skating, so I didn't have a, you know, I skated enough to get by, but I wasn't ever really that good at it, so I didn't really pursue that. And then, you know, I don't know.
Were you reading books while hanging out with the heads who were writing graph or gangbang, or
it all fell off? Like, I just stopped. I think I just stopped reading. You know, I just stopped. I became consumed with, like, once I locked down to graffiti, I was like, this is it. Like, graffiti and partying, those are two things. And I was like, this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. That's what I believed. And so I wasn't reading so much. It kind of fell off pretty hard. Not it didn't fall off forever. Like, I come back to all that stuff later. You know, once I start trying to get my life together, went through that whole thing, I was like, wait a minute, this is not sustainable. You know, you start getting arrested, you're getting fucked, you know, things getting fucked, you know, the wheels come off pretty quickly. They did for me. So then you start going back to like things that I was interested in. I went back to school. You know, I dropped out of high school. I went back to school. You know, I started pursuing things that were a little more intellectually aligned with who I actually am, as opposed to who I was in that place, which is also who I am too, right? Like, it's the same thing. Like, I am that person, and I am also the person that I was who was reading books. I'm both of those people.
Did you ever feel like you wanted to join a gang, or at least like imitate the dress style or anything like that to be, I guess, more accepted amongst that society that you're living in, surrounded by?
Everyone dressed in the 90s, it was, first of all, everyone was identifiable by your costume or by your wardrobe outfit. A uniform. Everyone's identifiable by their uniform, right? So writers looked a certain way. Gangbangers looked another way. And all gangsters at that point looked exactly the same. There was a very minimal deviation between, like, soldier, drug dealer, etc. You could tell a little bit, but they all had, like, pretty much the same sneakers for a long time. The same sneakers, the same pants, the same baggy fit. Like, nobody was fucking with that wardrobe. Though there were a couple outliers I remember that were like on some other shit, but for the most part. And then I remember the way I dressed back then was, it was gang influenced, because the whole fucking city was under the sway of just gang, like gangster music had just been born, and just gangs in general were like all time high, out of control. Gang banging was just fucking out of control. It was like, it was the thing to do, you know? I just quickly saw like the repercussions of, you know, you see it in junior high. And like, I remember watching a kid go through, I watched this kid get jumped into a gang and get jumped out in the same day. I was like, that's fucking crazy. And I watched another kid came from Arizona, got jumped in the gang, and like the next week he was like fucking just shook, because, you know, the way it was working back then is like, you get into a gang and like, these dudes are active. Like, they're not hanging around fucking singing doo-wop and chewing bubblegum. Like, these dudes are shooting the fuck out of each other. And I saw that early on. I was like, I'm cool. Like, I don't have that in me. I don't want to do that. So, but you also were, you know, if you're hanging out, you know, if you're outside, you're hanging around, you're fucking around, there's just like, you know, let's say just Venice alone, you're gonna be hanging out with that cross section. Hey, knock it off. You're gonna be hanging out with that cross section of people, and you'll be hanging out with like gangster surfers, skaters, graffiti writers, whatever, all at one place. Like they were all in my apartment at one point. I remember like there'd be, you know, there we'd be like shooting dice with some.
Yeah, if Omar wants to roam, I don't mind.
Right, she's just so you know. Don't want her to like fucking hey, come here. She's sorry, she's being squirrely. No, yeah, so you know, it was like everyone was all hanging out, and there was definitely a hierarchy because the gangsters were like, you know, they're doing more shit. They're like scarier than the guys under them and the guys under them. So like, we all interacted, but there's definitely like a line, you know. Yeah.
How is it that you got into graph?
I just wanted to do it. I just saw it and I was like, excuse me. I saw it and I was just, first off, I was intrigued by it. I was drawing in my drawings, and then I just started, I remember writing graffiti before even knowing how it all worked yet, you know? Like, I had a name I wrote, and I was, like, doing pieces in a book. I was basing all my stuff off of what I saw in Venice on the yard, what I saw. Like, I remember the first time I saw someone tag. I saw it happen. I was like, and I saw this dude, like, roll up on his bike. He hops off the bike, bike's between his legs, just sitting there. He pulls out a marker. It's wrapped in a sock. It's like probably a uni, and it's just dripping, and he just catches his tag. And I was watching it as a little kid and being like, fuck, whoa, that's how that works. Like, you know, you see the big kid do it too, and you're just like, fuck. And I think from then I was just like, I got to figure out how to do that, you know? And I think like through the neighborhood, and also like, you know, I think it was Spray Can Art came out too, which is the one, I think, Subway out of Spray Can. Spray Can Art came out too, which is fucking mind-boggling, because you see graffiti from the whole world, you know, pre-internet, of course. And that too was just like, had me just like, I just diverted everything I had artistically into graffiti. So like, even before I knew what the fuck I was doing, I was still trying to write on shit, you know? I don't know what the exact moment was that I got into graph, but like, I think I got into graph, and then I stopped writing because I started a rap group with these two buddies of mine. One of them was a writer named Fade. Another was a guy named Kamlo. We started a rap group, and then we had a falling out where they kicked me out of the group for some reason. And then I got back into graffiti because of that. And then I ran into, in my high school, there are a couple guys from AWR there. And I started hanging out with them. And then I was like, oh shit, like these are, like I thought I was, like I had this, like, you know, I've always had this kind of like a really stupid perspective of like thinking that I know things. And I thought I was kind of like, you know, I was writing when I was a little kid, and I grew up in Venice. So I was like, I thought I knew everything there was to know about graffiti. And then I met these guys. I was like, oh my God. Like I started seeing like I remember this kid, this dude, Rafi, was like, hey, Sonny, my friend Sonny in third period, he does graffiti too. And I was like, yeah, I bet he does, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, I'll go get you one of his books. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And he brings a book over and he opens it, and I was like, fuck. Like I was blown away. I was like, holy shit. And then I was back in, you know? And so I just started hanging out with these dudes. And I remember I was just like hanging out with the crew, and then like, and I hadn't really even left Venice. But it was, I think hanging out with that crew was the first time I just started to see the rest of LA. Like I hadn't been outside. I really didn't leave the neighborhood. So, you know, and like I didn't have a car. I didn't have, you know, these guys had cars, and they're just like, we're gonna go to a party in the Palisades. I'd be okay. And then we'd get up like, you know, 10 cars deep and drive to the Palisades to a party. You know, or we're like, we're gonna go paint Motor Yard. And I'm like, yeah, let's go to Motor Yard, like as if I knew what the fuck that was. I didn't know what that was. But you know, I'm always good at bluffing. So I was like, yeah, we'll go to Motor Yard. And I go to Motor Yard, and like it was just like really eye-opening seeing the seeing LA through this lens, you know. And the crew had guys from the valley, guys from all over, a couple guys from Orange County, a couple guys from, you know, a lot of guys from, most of us were from West LA, but a lot of guys from other places too. And yeah, so I kind of started to see the rest of the city through them, and you know, and after a while I got put on, you know, and you know, it's kind of like I spent the next, I don't know, I mean, easily spent 10 years kind of hyper focused on graffiti, and just like that was it, you know. And it was cool. I mean, it was like I didn't have any, there was no end game for me. It was just like, I got to get better at this.
Yeah.
And I got to paint more. And I got to, like, you know, and it was a lot of fun. And yeah, it was good.
In terms of painting at that time in LA, like, I feel like it's a known thing, especially being from the East Coast. You always hear that painting in LA, you have to worry about gangs more than cops, you know what I mean? Because in New York, there's like a lot of detectives, there's a lot of like vandal squad going on, so you have to kind of look out for cops more, if anything. But out there, we hear that in LA, especially during those times, I could imagine, you know, you have to look out for gangs. Is that true? Like, did you experience any type of that stuff?
Yeah, in those times, it was, yeah, yeah. I mean, there was two things. One was just like the normal thing of, because you're going to different neighborhoods where you can paint. There's two things you're doing. One is you're bombing and you're in weird neighborhoods, and then two is you're doing a piece and you're in yards, and the yards are always in neighborhoods that are like, you know, they're not in nice neighborhoods, and it's like abandoned walls that somehow the cops don't give a shit about, and like, you know who runs that shit? Gangsters. And every little neighborhood has a different gang in it. So yeah, sometimes, you know, like you be smart and be like, well, they're not getting up before fucking noon, so let's go paint at 8, you know. And you know, like, you did have to worry about it, and it was like kind of a thing where things would happen, things wouldn't happen. You might get like fucked with, but it wasn't crazy, because like you weren't really, they weren't trying to kill you because you weren't playing their game. Like, you weren't gangbanging.
You think they know the difference when you're hitting up?
100%. Yeah, 100%. They knew you're not. It's wildly apparent you're not a gang member back then. But then the thing that did happen later is that later on in the 90s, tag banging blew up, and then that's when shit got hairy, because the, you know, the powers that be in the gang world were like, we don't like this.
Yeah.
Fuck tag banging. If you guys want to gang bang, you got to be with us. None of this fucking hybrid shit. So they put the kibosh on it and started green lighting people going to jail. And then it was like scary, because if you get arrested, you're going to have to deal with dudes inside who are like, oh, you're a graffiti writer? Well, no, we got to beat you up, you know? So, yeah, and then also after that, you know, after that, then they did, like, then they made graffiti a felony, and that dried it up for a minute, I remember. Graffiti fucking...
Was it first offense felony?
Yeah, first offense felony. For a while, it was like, you get a ticket, you do community service. Like, we were always doing community service. But then they made it a felony, and I remember that put a fucking damper on the whole shit, because it was like, I remember shit dried up. People stopped painting. They were just like... Because people started going to, like, the penitentiary for graffiti, and it's like, fuck.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's contrasted to now, where it's like, whatever. It's like pretty much legal.
Yeah, it's pretty much legal.
Pretty much. I mean, it's not, but it is. Like, they're not fucking, you know, like, the only thing that's illegal right now is like doming someone in the middle of the street. You know? Like, they'll barely come out. Like, everything up to that is like fair.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, it's just a free for all. I mean, we had that dude, I don't know if he's what his station was in the police department, but he said, guy gets on the news and says, don't come to LA. It's like the purge here. A cop says that. It's like, what are you doing? So I don't know. I mean, it's like, I think that's true, but I think they're also the cops are also kind of like positioning for something. They want more money, or they want respect.
Yeah, I feel like in LA, definitely compared to New York, I don't see any cops. No. I see like one or two, maybe throughout the day, three, if I'm going to be generous. Like New York, every fucking 5 minutes, you see a cop drive by you. What's the deal with that? Do you know?
From what I hear, they're pouting because they don't like the protests and they don't like the BLM and all that shit. So they're pouting, literally. They're like, yeah, okay, you don't want us? We won't do our job. That's what I hear. So as a result, you know, strong arm robbery is just like out of control. I mean, you know, go to fucking Melrose and sit outside some shitty cafe, and you might have a gun in your ribs and, like, you know, make you run your fucking jewels or whatever the fuck, right? I mean, that's happening all the time right now. So I mean, I think, I don't know what the end result is, and I don't know what they think is going to happen, but the vibe I'm getting is cops are kind of like, figure it out, you know? Like I feel like if someone pulls up on you and tries to rob you and you shoot them, you probably are not even gonna go to jail at this point, because the cops aren't out there, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, in New York, they're letting people out who do basically anything.
Yeah,
you can like dome somebody in the middle of the street and you're gonna get let out the next day,
right? Yeah, and if you're a criminal, getting let out the next day is like you're not thinking about, you know, 6 months from now, whenever when you have to go to court, you're like fucking them out, and the cops aren't coming either, and there's no, you know.
Yeah, especially being a criminal and you let out that quick, you're like, oh shit, like it's not that serious. Yeah, like, I'll just do it again. Yeah. Like, I didn't change in the overnight, you know what I mean? And what do you think about the homelessness out here? Because in New York, like on the East Coast, it's not so much in your face. You know, there's a lot of crime going on.
Yeah.
But the homelessness, I feel, is like a real aesthetic thing that we notice out here, at least in the West Coast.
It's crazy, man. Like, I was just in Portland for a few days, and it was fucking crazy up there, too. Like, it's obviously because of COVID and, you know, because it wasn't like this before COVID. And what also I've heard, too, is that, you know, the new strain of speed that they've, it's so overly synthesized that it's like an instant psychosis. So you see, like, not only are people homeless, but they're like wildly tweaking. Like, you see 400 shopping carts full, like one person which is like 40 shopping carts full of shit. Like, they're overly tweaking and collecting. So it's like, not only is a homelessness a thing, it's like the trash that's piling up. Like in Venice, until very recently, like, you couldn't walk down the boardwalk. You'd see people come out swinging machetes and bottles and shit. Like, when I was a kid, homeless people were, as far as, like, the pecking order, that was the last thing you worried about as a homeless dude. You worried about gang members and whatever the fuck else, but not homeless people. They're just kind of, like, pretty docile. Now, they're fully weaponized, out of control. Like, they're psychotic. Like, I talked to my partner. He talks about, you know, homeless people in Venice. He's like, yo, it's out of control. So, like, if you're talking about, like, a native, you know, local gang member that doesn't know what the fuck to do about it, you know it's crazy, you know? So, I don't know, man. I don't know what the I don't know what the point is. Like, I don't know what I don't know what the move is. You know, they just let it build up. Like, they let Echo Park build up, and then they clean them all out and put a fence around it. But before then, it was just like Echo Park was just like a giant homeless camp, right? So I don't know what the fuck they're supposed to. They're supposed to house these people, you know. But I don't know what they're doing. I think they just kind of like.
Seattle's pretty bad too.
Seattle's bad too.
Yeah, we were there a few months ago, yeah. And it was pretty buck, honestly.
Yeah,
it was just like, you know, I don't know how it was before. It was my first time there, but it was straight up like overrun with graff.
Yeah,
like everywhere. And then the tent city was like, here's a Taco Bell right all around it, in front of it, like not tucked away on the sides of highways or wherever, but like on some in front of an Apple store type shit.
Right.
Which is fucking crazy.
Yeah, right.
The thing about like that is what to me was the strangest part is that they're building brand new buildings, right? Like brand new condominiums, like clean glass, crazy modern architecture. But like you got this homeless problem downstairs, like outside the lobby. Yeah. So it's just like a weird contrast of what's going on.
It's super dystopian. Like everyone talks about a dystopian future. No, we're in a fucking dystopian present. Like it's here. Shit, like at the same time that you have like, you know, the Web3 metaverse, all that VR shit that's happening, like really fast, like it's not like they roll out, you know, like usually like they'd roll some new, the new thing comes out, like they're, you know, the iPhone or like apps come out and everyone's like, oh, let's let this sink in. Like the metaverse comes out and like 2 weeks later, you know, Nike's in it. You know, you're like, whoa, hold on, so pump the brakes. And like it's very fucking dystopian, man. Like it's really I think we're in like a dystopian present, and unfortunately, I don't think that it's going to get better. I think that I think things have switched, and I think that we've crossed the line. Like, I think that we have, in the past, you know, 5 years, we've stepped over into like a new reality. And I don't mean this in some like airy fairy metaphysical way, but I think that reality. We've stepped over a line to where things have changed so dramatically that this is the new reality. And I don't think there's a way to turn any of this stuff back, because also the problem too is that the wage gap is so fucking big. So not COVID affected everyone, and it you know, they've been talking about the wage gap for, you know, a decade. You know, the middle class is going to go away, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to go away. But then you see this happen with COVID where it's like, the billionaires made, you know, 100 billion more each, and everyone else is like just on EDD, and then the EDD lets up and it's like, well, now what? Because now all your jobs are gone. It's fucking dark. Yeah. You know, and it's dark, man. It's a dark I think it's a truly dark time, you know, and I just don't know I don't know what's gonna happen next, but I think we're in a fully realized like science fiction film.
Yeah.
You know, and like it's not, and like in the not the pretty futuristic one, like the shitty one.
No, that metaverse shit gave me goosebumps as soon as you mentioned that, because it's just like what I'm talking about, how there's a homeless problem in reality, but they want you to put on these goggles and live in this game world.
Yeah.
It's like very strange. Yeah. Like we went from, you know, kids playing Manhunt outside in the park to like living in this virtual reality, and that's what they're pushing, and that's where all the money is. That's, you know what I mean, like all these NFT and they're catching the youth with like investing in all this stuff now, you know what I mean? They keep pumping out these ads about, you know, you got to get on this, it's early, it's nice, it's good, like you're gonna be rich later, like you're gonna be rich in the metaverse. I don't even know what that means, like these new terms, like you said, they're coming out so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to see what the future will be like with all this technology, you know.
Yeah, things are rolling over exponentially way faster than they ever have. And everyone is always, the consumer and the business are in a panic to keep up with what's going on, because it's a runaway train, and it's going. It's like there's no stopping it, you know. And like, you know, every time you look at the news or Instagram, you see another disturbing thing that's happening somewhere else. I'm like, oh, okay, so they made nanobots that can replicate themselves. That's cool. Don't we know anything from like?
Yeah, I saw that shit too.
Yeah, you're like, yo, don't we know not to do that? Like, you know? Like, I read reports about this 20 years ago saying, like, the thing, it said that it was 10 disaster scenarios, and one of the disaster scenarios was self-replicating nanobots that basically just keep self-replicating and just take over like locusts. just swarm everything. You know, so there's just like, I don't know, man. I almost feel like... I don't know. It's like, what can you do? You kind of keep your head down.
Yeah.
And try to like carve out your little piece of the world, and you know, plan your shit, plan your little life, and get your little fucking money. Because we're not like, you know, I'm not part of the Sackler family or any dynasty. So I don't have a fucking escape pod. And I don't have a safe house in New Zealand to tuck into. You know, like these motherfuckers do. And you know, I'm just gonna hope to like get through this and, you know, maybe get to a point where I have like a backyard with a sauna in it, and you know, and I'll get my VR goggles on and, you know,
call it a day,
slaying some NFT apes. I don't know.
Yo, but so as someone who grew up in Venice, and now of course it's extremely expensive, it was a straight up parallel universe when you lived there growing up, and now you're saying how there's like a homeless population living there, like seemingly a lot of them. What do you think about that whole gentrification shit? Is it even possible to stop, or is it just the natural progression of things? Like, as things get safer, prices rise, the poorer get pushed out, and this is like an inevitable situation.
I mean, what do you think? This might be the answer to gentrification, might be fucking weaponize homeless people on speed, because, you know, you know, like these people are, you know, your $3 million house is being overrun by fucking methed out fucking psychos, you know? It's an interesting thing that happened in Venice too, because it was like one of the highest priced places for a long time, and then after COVID it's like overrun. So I don't know how this works. Like, this is my first, you know, I don't know how gentrification really works, because I'm just seeing it for the first time. Like, I experienced it organically firsthand when I wanted to buy a house, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. You know, I don't live in Venice right now. I live in Los Feliz. I left like 10 years ago because I was trying to buy a house a long time ago, and I couldn't afford to buy in Venice. And at that point, it was like in the low mills. And I was like, this is crazy. I can't do this, you know. And then now it's just like out of control. But I don't know how things go. I mean, people from L.A. always talk about, oh, we just need a good earthquake or a good riot. But we had a good amount of riots. We had some riots. And I don't think anything's going to stop. Because I think also it's not so much people anymore. It's companies that are buying these things. It's companies from China. It's like people are buying shit up and flipping it, or like, you know, maybe Google comes in and buys like whole chunks of property, you know. So it's a different, I think the problem is that everything's gotten, the people, the companies and the individual's money have gotten so much more money, so then they need to spend it, because you can't keep it. You gotta keep spending that money, or else you gotta shoot it back in taxes. So like then they're buying shit, and it's like fucking up, you know. it's fucking up everything because it's fucking up the real estate market, I'm assuming, because there's so much competition. You know, I talk to people that are out there trying to buy houses, and they're like, it's hard, man. You're trying to get it together, get your loan, and then some dude comes in with, you know, 13, 20% over with cash. So it's like, fuck, you know, and it's like not even someone from America, you know. And it's just like, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, even saying that sounds like some like, it sounds like some right wing like propaganda, but it's true, you know. You know, it's just like, and also we've just, I think so many things have happened to fracture an already like very kind of, like a very spoiled country, which is America. I think all these things, like we've all had it. Even when people here have it bad, they have it better than people that have it bad in other places, you know? And I think that we're all very spoiled. Like we're all just like, we're all so dazzled by who else has what and what that person's doing or what that person's wearing, or look at those fucking tits, or look at all this. We're all fucking preoccupied with this shit. And if not that, it's like, you know, even the guy up the block who has a bigger fucking car and house, and it's like, oh, he has two cars, this guy has three cars, he's got three houses. It's like kind of crazy, you know, like other people I don't think live in the same way we live. And we're so like, we've been so fucking conditioned to suckle on like the media tit, like from, you know, you start with television, then as soon as it switched over to social media, we were done. We're cooked. Like social media fucking destroyed us. Because then we were just we're all plugged into social media, and then just someone comes along and just goes like, I'm gonna split the country in half, and use the half I want to get me where I want to go, and then now we're all fractured. No one can fucking think for themselves. They all have to pick a side, and you're forced to pick a side. Well, you're like, oh, fuck, I have to go this way because that motherfucker is.
Saying on the other side or whatever.
Yeah, and he's saying a few things that I can never agree with. So I got to go over here, but like, so then it's like force people, you know, and then you're just like pitted against each other, and you know, the people up top are the ones that are profiting off all this bullshit, and it's like they don't give a fuck, you know, like I don't think any of these people believe any of the shit that they tell us that they believe, you know, like God or abortion or whatever, morals. Like, are you kidding me? They're all fucking each other in weird, creepy, fucking octogenarian orgies and like, you know, sucking baby dicks, whatever the fuck they do, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
in terms of like the media and Instagram and dealing with all that shit, and in terms of you know, just making money and all the shit you were just naming, as someone who's running companies and working with companies and always trying to make shit happen and carving out your little slice in the world so you can like protect your own shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you deal with it? Like, because of course you got to stay up to date with the media. You got to stay up to date with Instagram. You got to use Instagram.
Yeah.
And you need to know what's up, and you have to read the shit that's happening, which sometimes is stressful to be reading because it's the same shit every day. How do you deal with it?
I have to have a strict regimen of things that keep me sane. Because even without looking at that, I'm just the type of person that I'm either pushing forward or I'm like slipping backwards. There's no normal lane for me. So I have to kind of do all these things to keep my head screwed on straight. And it is frustrating to think about it, you know, like to kind of know that, like, I don't know, like it looks like the planet is dissolving and like society might be collapsing a little bit, like in America, probably in other places. Like, it does look like that's happening.
Yeah, it does look like this.
It looks this way. Yeah. Right. And I'm not being like, you know, it looks like society, like our democracy and our society is kind of like, it's kind of spinning out, you know? And it looks like climate change is happening, and like, it looks like the planet might be melting down a little bit, and like, and it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I just kind of like, well, I don't know what the answer is. So my only answer is like, I'm just trying to like get somewhere to where I can feel comfortable, and you know, hopefully the people around me can feel the same way. And then it's like, you know, is there a way for me to help any of this stuff? Sometimes I don't feel like there is. I think I'm overwhelmed, you know, but I mean, what am I going to go to the Amazon and stand in front of a fucking logging, like, a logging operation or something, or like clean all the plastic bottles out of the fucking river. I don't fucking know. Maybe I should be. Maybe my life is wasted. You know, like, I don't know. Because I think I've, like, you know, I spent my whole life trying to figure out how to be creative and find a way to make a living doing that. And, but I think we're all 100%, every single person is complicit in the destruction of, like, the planet, you know, just by virtue of, like, having a phone in a car, you're a part of the fucking problem, I'm sure, yeah, you know?
Definitely. Or even just paying for heat or electricity.
Yeah, anything or, you do.
Like, yeah, anything at all.
Having a bag of Fritos is probably, like, you probably killed 42 penguins with that one fucking bag. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's all fucked.
Yeah.
I know this sounds bleak. Like, I don't think I'm not, I don't think I'm being, like, like, I say it all, it's all tongue-in-cheek, but I believe it all. And I also am kind of like, what can you do? I don't know. I just am like, well, I'm just going to try to, like, you know, make some cool shit. It sounds so stupid. But I want to make some things that are important to me. And then, I don't know, maybe once I get somewhere, I can try to, like, I don't know. It's overwhelming. I really don't know. I don't have a good answer. You know, I wish I did. You know, but I can try to be of use to the people around me, you know, to a degree, I guess. I don't know. It's tough. Like, what do you think? Like, what do you, I mean, you're obviously, you guys are like way younger than I am. So, I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, I personally don't think it's bleak at all, because it's funny, over Thanksgiving dinner, at the dinner table, I'm kind of like the black sheep. I think a little differently, or try to. And, you know, I brought up all these things that are happening pretty much in the world. And, like, my family was all, like, that's a negative way of looking at things. You should change your mindset on the world. You know, I'm like, like, I understand what you're saying, but, like, how can I just ignore what's happening? Like,
yeah,
how can I just live in this fantasy world where this stuff isn't happening and I see it changing every day? You know what I mean? I don't want to just wake up one day and be completely oblivious to what happened and be, like, and, like, being a victim. I just want to, like, truly understand why and, like, every day analyze what's going on. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's bleak. I think it's just what's going on.
It's just reality.
It's just reality, yeah, at, yeah, this point. You know what I mean?
I do think maybe, like, my girlfriend wants to have kids, right? And I'm like, whoa, what are they gonna do in, like, 50 years? What the fuck? They're just gonna, like, wander around and, like, stab each other for gas? Like, what the like, they're just gonna be, like, fighting over, like, a chili can? Like, what the fuck's gonna be there? And she's like, I still want to have them. And I think about that, and I'm like, well, maybe there is a way out that hasn't been thought of yet. And maybe it's not going to come from me in my generation. Maybe there is, like, and it might be something really bizarre. It might be, like, people actually plugging into, like, a metaverse or colonizing another planet. Or maybe there is, like, a, you know, the unfortunate thing, I think, is that the only way anything will happen to change anything is if there is a horrible series of events.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people are feeling way more uncomfortable, not uncomfortable, feeling terrible. Like, people have to, because like, the people, these old fuckers in charge will not let go. Like, they will, they're holding on till the last, like, these old fucking coal-burning gas empire motherfuckers, like, they're just like, fuck it. You know, like, I think that their thing is, like, I talked to a buddy of mine who's, like, a Republican, and we talk once in a while, like, a friend of mine, cool guy, and we talk, and, like, you know, once in a while we'll butt heads, but it's all amicable. And I'm like, tell me the truth, man. Like, what the fuck? Like, what, you know, climate change is not a hoax. He's like, yeah, I know it's real. I'm like, what's your take? He's like, well, I'm like, wait a minute, is your whole thing, like, fuck it, and, like, it's over anyways? And he's like, yeah, that's what we think. We're just like, we know it's a wrap, so we're just gonna keep carrying on as if. And I'm like, oh, so that's the plan. They're just like, I think they're, like, actually nihilists, you know, like, they either have blinders on, they don't believe any of it, or they're just like, it's all going to end anyway, so why don't I just cake up as much as I can, you know? But, again, I think that's a very American, it's part of the American disease, is to think that more stuff, more money is more success and more happiness. And I'm not trying to be fucking Bob Marley over here, but, like, it isn't. Yeah. You know, it isn't actually, like, there is no cap on, like, how much shit you can have. And there's no end to the things, and it's never going to make you happy. And I think people appear to be happy on Instagram, take the pictures and do all the shit, but it's like, how much shit do you fucking need, you know? I mean, I think, you know, it's any, all the, look, any great, empire and any great system is always going to, at some point, collapse. Capitalism and the American empire eventually ain't going to work. I don't think communism works either. I think everything has a cycle.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's realistically, like, the only solution, I could be wrong, it's just my opinion, like, the only solution is reliance on this technology. Like, someone makes a fucking machine that sucks carbon out of the air and stores it in rocks type shit.
Yeah.
Because I don't see, like, we can't be like, oh, well, let's just stop harming the environment. Like, even agriculture harms the environment. We already have too many humans.
Yeah.
We need, like, artificial agriculture.
Yeah.
And that harms the environment. So it's clipped. Like, it's either, like you said, something catastrophic happens, mad people get hurt, mad people die or whatever, and you force a change onto society. Or we make up some new technology that's going to cause some other issues down the line, but that's fucking down the line. So we solve the issues for now and buy ourselves some time. But realistically, like, if you read the history of the world, like, there's been, like, every extinction that's happened, I think 5 out of the 6 or whatever were caused by increasing temperature because of carbon. So, like, this isn't some new shit. Like, it's just, like you said, it's like a cycle, and it's going to happen pretty much regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that I also sometimes wonder, you know, I get stuck in thinking and I always wonder, I'm like, how, because we're still animals, right? Like, we're physically animals. Like, we still are, like, process things, and, like, we're still very, you know, we have very complicated egos and ways of figuring things out and perspectives, but, like, we're still essentially animals. And, you know, it's like how much extra shit can we lump on? Like, how much more modifications are we supposed to be doing? But some people think the other way. Some people are like, we're supposed to modify, and we're supposed to adapt and evolve and turn into, like, you know, cyborgs and shit. And, like, that's happening too, right? Like, fucking Elon Musk is going to drop next year, like, his brain chip stuff, you know? And people are
like, yo, shit is going to be fucking buck.
Yeah.
Once that shit starts happening, the metaverse, like, whatever that is, NFTs, fucking everything, like, picture 5 years on the line, like, with the exponential change that's happening, and the rate of change is, like, nothing seen before. So it's going to be absolutely crazy. So, like, if you were to have a kid, who fucking knows what... It might even be something safer in the future. Like, we don't even know. It could go any multitude of directions.
You know, the way I see it also is, you know, like, I work a blue-collar job in New York. I'm, like, a union plumber.
Oh, okay.
And I look back at the times, or I hear it from the people I work with, where, like, life was so simple. You literally just go to work, make enough money, have a family, a kid, and just, you know, like, some people say that's, like, repetitive and boring and a waste.
Fuck no, that's amazing.
Like, that's so simple, right? So I'm at work, right, talking to these people, talking about the simple times, and then I look on Instagram and Elon Musk or, like, robots can reproduce now. I'm like, yo, where is this simple fucking life? Like, why are they putting so much pressure on the average person right now? Like, all they want to do is just live a simple life, be happy with their little family, not little family, but I mean, like, having a family, like a house, and, like, they're just pressuring, you know, like, so much, all this new shit, you know.
I think all the stuff too is not, like, all the stuff that, you know, like, the Japanese rate of reproduction is dropping off, like, a lot. Like, I think Japanese people are just not, they're not fucking, you know, because I think, like, they're also ahead of us with all this technology. I mean, they seem to have dealing with it in a different way. And then, you know, we just give, like, I think they've like absorbed the technology in a better way. And then we get the technology and we're just like fucking baboons. We're like, give me, you know, like, just give me the biggest tits you can get and, like, the biggest ass implant. And,
like right now.
Yeah. Give me that right now. Give me, like, all the, I need the next iPhone before I will sleep outside to get the new iPhone. And, like, you know, it's not simple anymore. Like, there also used to be middle class. Like, a middle class dude could, like, have a house. Like, you know, there's guys in Venice who, like, were fucking plumbers and had a nice home in Venice, right? There's a normal, you know, great fucking place by the beach, a little rough, whatever. You know, now it's like you can't even live in within the sphere of LA without, you know, like, if I want to get a house, 2 to 3 bedroom house in LA, decent one with a little yard, it's like 1.2 starting in where I want to live. Right out of the gate, it's like, what the fuck,
you know? Yeah, that's insane.
It's crazy. And you know, and it's like it's but also the crazy thing too is that this is the other part of it, is that this other generation of kids and they're making so much money so fast. So I think, like, the amount of money people are making, especially with this NFT crypto, all this stuff, like, there's all these new millionaires, all these kids are fucking multi-millionaires overnight, you know, making a couple moves here and there. And so, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like if there's so much money floating around in America and we're also in so much debt, at what point do we do our, does our dollar just become obsolete? And it's like, and like, you know, a pack of smokes is going to cost $60,000. You know what I mean? And it's going to be inconsequential.
And that's not impossible either. No, it's like, not it's actually very possible.
Right.
Because it, like, replace yuan with dollar and shit over there could cost 200,000 yuan.
Yeah.
Like, that's just ridiculous. Just change up the, change something, change up some ratio. Like,
yeah.
If you go in, like, a pencil costs 100,000 yuan, like, there's a problem here.
Yeah.
This isn't, like, serving our, like, ease of use anymore. Like, things are getting too crazy.
Yeah. Like, in the inflation, I mean, it is a very bizarre time. And it's also like, I think there's too many, like, I don't, because of social media and the internet and like because of us having access to everything all the time, there's too many wars being waged on too many fronts, you know? And, you know, it's like, I think, like, you know, in the 80s it was like racism and the wage gap and, you know, Iran-Contra and drugs were like kind of the things that people were dealing with. I don't know. I'm a fucking idiot. I don't know anything. I'm just saying, this is my perspective. And now it's like, every war is being waged on every front all the time by everybody, and every little thing is being addressed, you know, like, and it's just like too much. And everyone has access to dispel information and ingest information, and anyone can put out information as if it's real. And people, if you lack a certain amount of sophistication, you'll believe it if it's packaged right. So you can be susceptible to like well packaged media posing as information when it's actually entertainment, or they're just trying to get you eventually to buy a fucking whatever. But like, you can, you know, we've seen the whole fucking QAnon, all this shit. Like, you know, it's because we got conditioned, man. Like, we were conditioned to believe in the news. Like, okay, the news is real. As when I was a kid, right? There was Fox News is real, NBC is real, CBS is real. It's all real. And they all reported on shit. There would be a scandal and it would break and they'd all be reporting on fucking Ollie North, whatever the fuck is going on. You know, Rodney King. That's real shit. That happened, right? And then something happened where, you know, the news channel started fragmenting into giving the news specified news, specialized, personalized news. This is news that fits your view. And then, you know, with Fox and CNN, all they started specializing in the news and making it specific. That's just American news, too. American news is also very insulated. And not, you know, you go to the BBC or Al Jazeera to see, like, real news. But, like, and so the news got specified. The news got catered. You got catered news. And it started selling you exactly what you want. And then that over the course of, like, you know, imagine some fucking 40-year-old man 15 years ago locked into Fox News, and Fox News just keeps going more right, more right, more right. And they're watching it every day. And you're fucking, there's like a whole documentary about this. You're getting indoctrinated. And as the news is shifting, your views are shifting, and you don't even know it. And next thing you know, you're like in there, and they're feeding you all this crazy shit. And next thing you know, you're fucking racist. And you don't even know it. Or you don't believe in this thing. You don't even understand that you're wrong. I mean, no one understands they're ever wrong, but like, so, and then, so that happens. And then what happens after that is that we've been indoctrinated. We're following this, like, kind of everything turns into tabloid news. And then other people start making their own news, and it just comes in seamlessly through YouTube and social media. And then now you can't tell the difference between what was real news that turned into quote unquote fake news. And now there's even just like imaginary news. And then you're watching the imaginary news like, yep, that's real too. And so that's why people are like, JFK is coming back. And like gathering on bridges to see JFK come back from the dead. It's like, what the fuck is going on? You know, we're like, and as brilliant as everything's gotten in technology, we're just getting dumber because of it.
Yeah,
is, you know, it's like there's a bunch of scientists or inventors or people working in that space making things so amazing, and the fallout is that we just get dumber because we get access to more shit. We're not supposed to see that many images. We're not even supposed to see that many fucking faces in a day.
Yeah, no.
Like going through Instagram, like as an animal, you're only supposed to see like your tribe, you know, like 20 faces a day or some shit.
It's like after 150. Chimpanzees chilling together, the society breaks down. It's something like that. 50 is all right, then once you get past 150, like, it's clipped, it always breaks down.
Yeah.
So what does it tell you, like, if you have an Instagram where you literally follow, like, let's say 400 people, and you straight might actually know like 400 of them?
Yeah.
So it's, like, that can't be healthy somehow, like, to your subconscious.
No,
Like in a deeper level, it must tweak something because it's not supposed to be that way.
No, it's over.
I shouldn't also be able to go like in my explore page, fucking scroll through whatever it's feeding me
infinitely.
And if I'm looking at the wrong shit, all of a sudden it's like it's just butts, right? Let's say I was like look, and all of a sudden it's feeding me like 400 girls just dancing in G-strings, and like that's what, and like I didn't choose that violence. It just was presented to me, and then I'm seeing that now. My head's like way the fuck off track, and I just went in there to answer some DMs, right? And it's like, you know, you guys listen to the Rabbit Hole podcast about the YouTube algorithm, how basically like they follow this guy as he watches YouTube and becomes an extremist because the algorithm leads him down this path and just feeds him slowly, like starts in one place.
Crazy.
He likes another one, then it feeds him another one, and it just sends him to the, and if like you could have two people watching a protest, and depending on your algorithmic preferences, it'll feed you something that either caters to the cop side or to the protester side, and then you watch the one that favors the cops, and then it sends you another one that favors cops, and all of a sudden you're in like Proud Boy territory, and then you're in fucking kicky, like it's
crazy. Like forget the military, like there's soldiers on the streets with these ideologies nowadays. Like they're just recruiting more and more people, like you said, with simple videos. Like subconsciously people are just falling into categories, you know what I mean? It's like there's only two sides of the fence, it seems like, you know. And if you're in the middle, like you gotta pick one, otherwise you're gonna be outcasted or what have you, you know. It's really difficult to even speak on this shit nowadays because it's so like sensitive, and your shit gets deleted, censored, and you know, it's insane.
Yeah, the other side of it too is that side of it too, like the policing of the left, like the woke policing of things too, is gets crazy also. So mm-hmm. where it's also like, you know, if they don't like something you did, mm-hmm. You know, without any proof, they can hang you in a public court and destroy your career, right? If that's the case,
yeah.
Or they can try. And I think we're just like, this is the beginning of the internet. Like I think Web3 is the real internet. I think this has all just been like the beginning of it, you know. Now we're getting into like what the web. Now we're gonna see what the fucking internet's gonna be. It's gonna be like Ready Player One, where you're just like, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's crazy, and it's you know, I don't know. I guess like, and I'm in it, and I don't think I'm a part of it in a bad way, but I'm a part of it, you know, in a very tiny way. You know, and like we have our little thing, and we sell things to people, and I produce content, and I'm involved in it, and I have a podcast, and I do these things, and it's like I'm just trying to express myself in the contemporary parlance, right? I think parlance is the right word, but like I'm trying to express myself in what's available now. I'm not gonna make a fucking zine in a newsletter and mail it to a bunch of people. I'm gonna use
what's current,
flow
with the times.
And as a result, you know, you're just in the middle of all this stuff. And, you know, I do dream of living in the woods one day.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, like, if you ever wanted to move out of L.A.
I can't move out of L.A., though. That's a problem. Like, I mean, I could, but I would like to have a place in Topanga. Like, right now, if you're saying, do you want to move out of L.A.? I'm like, my whole life is here.
Yeah.
My friends are here. My business is here. My gym, you know, all the things that I love are here. And I'm such a creature of habit, like I don't want to leave. But I always envy people that aren't from LA who come here. Like, and I was talking to my girlfriend about this. Like, imagine if you're from Oregon and you come to LA and you make your money, and then you're like, okay, I made some cash. I have a career. Now I can go back home and get a house that's reasonable. You know, maybe not, but like that. I like the idea of being able to go back home to your hometown, and it's still small. And you can go there and like drop some cash and then get a real place, you know. Like you can take your 1-2 out there and get like a fucking sick ass crib and like, mm-hmm. and you're home, and that's where you're from, you know. But yeah, I don't want to leave LA, only because everything's here, you know. But it is the shittiest time I've seen in LA, and I lived through the riots. And, you know, all that other stuff, and gang wars, all that stuff. But, like, this seems to me, like, the most fucked up because, I don't know. It just seems more meaningless. At least that stuff, as dark as it was, had some sort of meaning maybe. But I don't know if that makes sense. It just seems like I think with everything being so expensive
and there being so much money and at the same time super dystopian is what makes it fucked up for me. You know, and the fact that like you can be sitting outside having lunch and just get robbed randomly and nothing, you're kind of on your own.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's fucked up. You know, like I saw them like follow this woman into her yard with a stroller. You know, it's two dudes and like robbed her. It's like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
But yeah, bro. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, I had a big ass coffee before I got here, so I just...
All good, man. Yeah, it was an honor for us, and I'm super hyped to meet you, man. Thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much, man.
Peace.
Peace.